Okay, so would you just say your name and tell me if you give me permission to record you for broadcast and for the internet?
My name is Lexa Mashinsky, and I do give you permission for a broadcast and internet purposes.
So, what has been your personal experience with Asians for Black Lives Matter?
I think because I am of the younger population, and I do see it throughout social media, I personally think I have quite a big understanding of what the Black Lives Matter just the entirety of the movement is. And from my understanding is sometimes because of the fact that we are really not outspoken about how we deal with injustices. Within the Asian Pacific Islander community, I don't think that we're really doing a lot. I just don't see it coming from someone who is Asian Pacific Islander, but coming from someone who is very young, who is a very young American, I see that I have a lot of power to just retweet and send things out. But that's all I see, and that's all I do.
What could APIs do better?
I think raising awareness on them, because we as a community have gone through injustices, many of them never intersect with the black community, because sometimes there are just things that we have never had to overcome. But at the same time, we do have the empathy, and so I think that we just have to find the capacity to be aware of it, and we have to find ways to share it with each other. I do think that just being there as a support is something that we can definitely do, and I don't see enough of it.
Have you had any conversations with older members of your family about this?
I have my father. He is a white American. I have had conversations with him, and he definitely just he doesn't care about it as much. My stepmother, however, she is Filipino. She's full Filipino. She looks at it and says that it feels threatening for her because she believes that because African Americans are a minority that has injustices faced towards them, that it also affects her as a minority too. But people who have lived in the United States, who are also like people who I know, my stepmother, for example, she definitely feels like a sense. She feels it at a more personal level than my father, who is white, and he just doesn't see it as much.
How is I guess the how do African American and Asian American groups at your school how do they get along?
With the only time I've seen us just coexist, because we do coexist, yes. The only time I've seen us like actually interact with each other is at my school. We have a thing called the culturally specific clubs. We get together during one lunchtime, and there I see people from Black Student Union, from GSA, and from the other culturally specific clubs meet with APISU. And the interactions we have with each other are fairly minimal. But when you have those culturally specific clubs put together, you see the people who want to actually make a difference in their community and who are openly trying to do it. And I think that it's pretty cool. But at the same time, once again, it's fairly minimal. We don't really, it's we never mesh together. We see each other in the halls, but we never talk about like the injustices and the prejudices and just the inconveniences and difficulties we have, because I don't think it's something that we feel comfortable sharing with them and they feel comfortable sharing with us.
Have you ever, how has the model minority experience or myth, how's that impacted your life?
As an Asian Pacific Islander student, quite heavily, because I definitely see that there is an assumption that I should do better or excel much at a faster rate than my classmates do. And the truth is, I'm not that good of a student. At best, I'm an A minus, actually B plus student. And sometimes talking about US history, because I'm Filipino, one teacher did bring up, do you have any inbred hatred for Americans because you are Filipino? And I think that's just something that's, you don't do that. But then at the same time, there's also the thought that, oh, you should have, why didn't you score high enough on the test? And then one would ask, I don't know, why did you expect me to score that high in the test? And somebody would say, not even a teacher, sometimes a student, oh, because you're Asian. And it's not something completely evident with the teachers, but sometimes you can just tell that students, your peers, would look at you and expect more from you. And it's definitely discouraging for a student because you'd think that you're trying your best, but you're always expected to do your best. And sometimes you do expect that from your family members because they do expect you to do good. But when it comes from your peers and people who you expect to support you unconditionally, people who you, whenever you have family problems, you go to, they're the people who you expect to just be there like, hey, how are you? But they look at you and you can just see like disappointment, even though they don't really mean it, because it is something that I think they don't know how much of a burden it is for us to carry, but it is quite a burden.
How does that, I guess, having those expectations on you because you're Asian, how does that, I guess, a lot of times the model minority myth is used to make, like, especially African Americans feel bad. How does that impact you?
I think that it's insanely unfair. Because
what is insanely unfair?
The fact that a stereotype that is supposed to be good for the Asian community is used against another community. It's, in a way, pitting minorities against each other when we're trying to just help each other. I think the fact that people look at us so highly and think of us so greatly is, I mean, it's very discouraging sometimes, but it should never be used against another minority because they have their own struggles that can never be amounted. That some of the struggles that they have are ones that can't be equated to what we feel. And just because a few Asian Americans, many Asian Americans, are capable of reaching such great lengths and great heights doesn't mean that African Americans are not. And just because through statistics and through the system, African Americans are not capable of, they aren't seen as much as Asian Americans are, does not mean that they are not capable of succeeding and excelling. So, yeah, I think it's very unfair that they would look at us and say that you should do good, and then they look at the African-American community and say, you should be like them, because we have our own problems, and it's not fair to them, and it's not fair to us.
How do you see the future as far as this relationship between African-Americans and APIs? How do you see that developing in the future?
I think with what I'm seeing with students and younger generations, like how we're trying to fix it, I think that it's going pretty good. It's going in a direction where we're trying to solve it and you're trying to solve it and we can just collectively try to solve it together. But if you were to ask me when I was still in the Philippines, when I didn't see this interaction, I don't think I would be able to say that it would get better. I do believe that there would be, in a way, some tension between the two communities because both are being pitted against each other. But from the way that I'm looking at everything, through social media, through just interactions with my friends, it's definitely becoming much better. It's definitely becoming a way where we can support each other.
So you see hope.
I have an immense amount of hope that in the future, everything will get better. It's probably going to be like much harder to overcome some things. But I do believe that that all the communities, all the minorities have the capability to get together and just fight it one at a time, baby steps. But yes, I do believe immensely. And I think that there's great hope for it.
So you are 17.
Yes.
And you're, tell me a little bit, where you go to school and what you want to do when you graduate.
So I go to Wilson High School here in Portland. Currently I am battling between the engineering and medicine. However, I have found a way to intersect both of them and just take biomedical engineering when I get into college. So I intend to pursue electrical engineering and then go into med school because I think it's just something that I just love helping out the community. And I think that because my mother was a nurse and my father was an engineer, when I was younger, I said I would never do what they're doing. But now I look at them and say that this is what I want to do. And I think that it's just a great way for you to help out your community, especially through medicine, because I do come from a third world country. I grew up in a third world country. And I think that my family has had such struggles with just health. I think that this is my way of saying thank you to them. And this is my way of saying thank you to my country.
So you're not going to be an actor?
It's I do believe that acting is something that I would love to pursue. However, I think that I can reach greater lengths through medicine, and I can help more people, and I can touch more hearts that way.
What is bioengineering?
Biomedical engineering is you study biology and medicine through and look at it through an engineering process. You look at it and see like how the technology that like technology used in the field of medicine can be in a way articulated for you as an engineer to understand. Like, you can understand how the body works, and you can understand how machinery works and things that and appliances work, but you can also just become a doctor, or you can also just focus on being an engineer. It's kind of a good intersection between engineering and medicine, because those are two different branches of science, but at the same time they're also fairly connected to each other.
What can you, to get back on this topic, I think that's awesome that you're doing that. Thank you. And I can't imagine myself, but how, what's your advice to, I guess, young people in looking, especially in how a lot of times there are a lot of conservative older generation, and they don't necessarily have good relations with African Americans. Mm-hmm. What's your advice?
I think one thing that I hold near and dear to my heart is, as much as I love my parents, I'm not my parents. I hold different values than they do. I look up to them. But at the same time, the world has changed so much. And my advice to even my younger self would be, don't let their closed-mindedness affect your open-mindedness. And I think just for older generations who are not, it's not that they're not willing to accept it, it's just that they are so just bounded in their ways that they find it hard to change. I think it's just being open to talk about these things can really, really help, because sometimes it takes just one conversation to change something. And I think just raising awareness and being open about it, just being willing to talk about it and being willing to understand it and just empathizing with it, I think that's really the first step to everything, because without empathy, you can't really understand how they're feeling. You can't take into account like what it's like to be in their shoes. And so empathy is just key to everything.
Was there a specific moment that you can recall with your parents, if you wanted to share just one moment in one conversation?
So one moment that I find fairly, it's also fairly recent, is my sister. She is married to an African-American man. My father was not into it. He would use slurs against him, never in front of her husband's face, but he would use slurs, and he would constantly demean her for marrying him. And I, as a very, very young person, because she got married like 10 years ago, I would look at her and say that I don't understand why dad is like this. He, as in her husband, loves you so much and you love him. And I don't understand why my father is just constantly beating you up for just this. And I think that is such a personal experience for me, that I look at it and say that this is not how I want to raise my kids. This is not how I want my kids' friends to be like. This is not the generation that I want to follow me. This is something that I want to be a part of and I want to change. So that, yeah.
Has he changed?
He has stopped talking about it, but at the same time, you can tell that he's not happy about it. He has gotten to the point where he would just be silent about it and never say anything. But out of all instances, I've never been as disappointed as my father is that specific moment. So, yeah.
I'm so sorry about that. But you are so eloquent.
Thank you.
You really are. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for
having
me.
Any final thoughts or anything?
I just uphold the value of empathy. So I think that everyone, as hard as it can be, it is hard to take into account somebody else's experiences. But once you do, it's just amazing to just hear their stories and feel what they feel, because there's something just so humane about feeling someone and just like being there with them and just understanding how they are. So yeah, that's all.
Gives me hope. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.